For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, we'll debate whether or not the Air Force win was a great win, or maybe just, oh no, here comes Navy. So, you know, Ed, I guess it's pretty obvious in just, you know, getting a pulse on ND Nation that there's for the most part, two types of fans out there. There's the fans that just want the game to go incredibly down to the final tee in our favor, where we dominate every single facet of the game. And then, arguably, there's the more reasonable fan that says, hey, look, just win the game and let's move on to the next one. Unfortunately, I'd argue that the majority of ND Nation is in the first camp. So, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, obviously a great game overall. Notre Dame offensively looked, you know, as good as they've looked all year long, and are really showing signs of moving ahead here. However, for the second game in Brian Kelly's career, as he faces the option, not exactly a you know, great rebound from being dominated by Navy last year, thinking that, all right, he's going to get it figured out after looking at film, and we're just going to dominate on the defensive side. That obviously didn't happen.
Well, I it depends, I guess, what your standard of, or your analysis is. I mean, to me, you know, until they start deciding who wins games by whoever has the most rushing yards, I think we're fine. I mean, you know, Air Force has a pretty complicated offense. Like you've told me before, a week isn't a long time to prepare for something that's so different from what you're used to seeing. It takes a lot of discipline. I mean, and to me, I mean, the bigger picture is for Notre Dame to get back to competing for championships and to be a top 10 program and to be playing in BCS games and all that kind of stuff. Beatdowns of the service academies has to be part of that formula, and that's just something that hasn't happened around here for quite a while. I mean, there have been, you know, the difficulties with Navy are well documented, and you know, Air Force obviously has come into Notre Dame Stadium and beaten us, but those kinds of things I don't think should happen, or they should happen very rarely when you're so physically overmatched, you know, over your opponent. And I thought that that basically was a really good sign Saturday that this is a real good Air Force team. They will be a bowl team. Their offense will end up, I mean, you know, their offense doesn't end up 500, 600 yards a game in the top 10 in the country every year because of their incredible athletes. They have really good athletes, but the reason it's there is because it's an offense that nobody is very, you know, capable of preparing for on a short basis. So if people in ND Nation are upset about giving up 19 points basically to Air Force, and you know, some of which came after a offsides on a field goal, and you know, then there was a fake punt. I mean, I think that they have completely unrealistic ideas about what you know, what we should expect from a team over the course of a season. I mean, the idea is to go and not make it to make sure that there isn't any doubt in the fourth quarter against a team like an Air Force or a Navy, or you know, and that's right. That's what they did. So,
and they did, yeah. And you know, granted, I mean, you could make the argument, well, geez, if we didn't have two calls go our way in that first quarter, who knows what would have happened? We might have gone back and forth. I still think the same thing would have happened. We would have eventually stretched it out and won by three, maybe even four scores.
Yeah, I mean,
in the fourth quarter. Definitely.
Yeah, and I think you'd agree. I mean, the key to this game and the key to playing these academies and their offenses are really what you do with the ball is, you know, basically scoring early and often and putting some distance there so that they're in a position where their margin for error is really reduced. And we did create a number of second and third and long situations for them, which made it difficult. But most importantly, we just took the ball and we scored the first six times we had it, and we scored touchdowns. And that's how you create right. that separation and win these games.
You do, and that's right, and that's exactly what you do. And I think that, but you know, and I think you look at what Navy did. They played with South Carolina for
sure.
four quarters. So you know, they're definitely a threat. They're a team that's totally.
And they
capable.
Gave up 63 points to Southern Miss over the weekend, which you know we ought to be able to. I think our offense is probably in you know in line with Southern Miss. So you know, if we come out and. And again, it's there's three phases of the game. So we took care of the football, unlike last week when I kind of made the remark that we didn't have any turnovers, but it wasn't for lack of trying. I don't recall, did we put the ball on the ground at all? Was there a situation where Tommy threw into triple coverage? I mean, I don't think there were any of those situations where did we come close to having a turnover? I can't remember.
Last year, it was Dane Chris last year.
No, I'm talking about Saturday's game.
Yeah. Oh, Saturday's game. No, we didn't
come close to it, did we? I mean, there wasn't a...
No, we didn't. Nah, we didn't even really... Well, there might have been one bad throw,
right.
I think. There was one bad
actually,
throw.
Actually, you know what,
I watched,
I went to the game, but I kind of watched it last night, and I actually thought, I think it was early in the game, there was a tip ball. Tommy, you know, got a ball tipped, and, you know, it kind of fell harmlessly and went nowhere. But I think he was throwing it to, two or three guys on Eifert on that one. So maybe that was the bullet that we dodged.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, maybe the frustrating thing comes in when you look at just the way that we defended the option. You had Slaughter out there who was riding the pitch man, basically the quarterback, initiated the force so that the quarterback pitched the ball and then chased down the play and pretty much all day long did nothing but that. Never really got involved in sticking the quarterback, forcing the pitch early. And this gets down to philosophy. You know, this gets down to strategy on defense as to which way do you want to play it. Do you want to force the pitch often and quickly and take hits and really beat down on the quarterback all day long, which is fine, but then, by doing that and not stretching it out, you don't give your defensive guys behind you time to cover and make up ground while you string out the pitch. So it clearly is one of those philosophical things. However, I think, at least in my mind, the way I see it on defense, you got to cause some
yeah.
disruption. You can't play it straight up all day long. Because if you do, a team that's well-disciplined in the triple option is going to find success. Because I don't care what anybody says, it is a extremely difficult...
Well, I thought Notre Dame, you know, they spent some time in Air Force's backfield. I mean, I don't think they certainly weren't, you know, it sounds like, you know, last year in the Navy game, they were kind of sitting back and waiting for things to happen, but... You know, they learned their lesson, took a very different approach against Army last year, and I thought the same thing Saturday. They didn't make every play, and they missed, and they, you know, but for the most part, when it came down to a one-on-one matchup or a physical battle, Notre Dame is going to win those, you know, most of the time. So I think they tried to create those as much as possible, but you know, that's why it's called the option. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. And
there is, and it's yeah. And I mean, just ask sure. Oklahoma. I mean, they came within 3 points of losing the Air
and
Force
unlike a lot of Air Force teams, you know, this was a team with a quarterback who could competently get the ball 20 yards
yeah.
down the field to a receiver in stride. You know, that doesn't happen every
yep.
year.
Exactly, and so they're definitely the of the two threats between Air Force and Navy. I totally regard them as the bigger threat. However, I think the fear factor comes in. What if we have one of those days where we do turn
sure.
it over a couple times, or we do, you know, just don't execute offensively, and we have one of those days. Well, if it comes down to the defense holding them to, 17 points or less and only giving up 200 yards, chances are it's probably not going to happen. So, you know, however, I think that your point is well taken in that, you know, the fact of the matter is when you play the service academies, you just got to out-physical them, and at the end of the day, leading into the fourth quarter, if you're doing things right offensively, the game should be
right.
well in
well, whether hand. It's the, you know, whether it's the Parsegian era, the Devine era, or the Holtz era, I mean, the way that Notre Dame dispensed with teams that they were clearly physically superior to, and you know, two or three or four touchdown favorites, was basically coming out and scoring two, three, four touchdowns in the first quarter. You know, or you know, I mean, yeah. and that's just the way that those really. Games happened. You'd never let them think that they were in the ball game. And I thought that Saturday was an example of a return to that type of a blowout of a team that you should beat. You basically give them no little entryway into making it a competitive game by scoring touchdowns on your first four, five, six possessions. I mean, that's how you take care of business, especially at home, and especially when you've got the talent edge by a pretty wide margin. So I look at it as a step in the maturation or the development of a program under Brian Kelly. I look at it as a step in the right direction, and I don't think you're ever going to have a situation where teams aren't kind of challenged, no matter how good they are, whether they're Oklahoma or Notre Dame or Southern Mississippi or South Carolina, where they aren't presented challenges by the service academies and the offenses that they run. So the key is to thwart them long enough, or to hold them off long enough, or to bend enough and make sure that your offense imposes their will. And I think that that's the right formula for win victory. And I think that's what Brian Kelly has figured out.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they absolutely did. You cannot argue at all with the approach that he took with this game, because they won it convincingly. Talking about that, clearly what is the best news of the day, I think, is that there is definitely some of the growth that we're seeing moving ahead here with the offense, and not just not turning the ball over, but the offensive line for the second game in a row has just completely dominated, and probably, I'd argue, since the Michigan State game has really come of age. I mean, this is a group that's now coming together. And granted, it's to be expected against a team like Air Force, where they're going to outweigh them by 30 pounds per man. However, they clearly gave Tommy Rees all kinds of time. They were definitely making holes for the running backs, both of them, that could have had a great day if we just did nothing but run the ball. But clearly, on the offensive side of things, I mean, things are definitely starting to click. And if anything, it just goes to show what we're doing with the offense, even though we really don't have the right mix that Brian Kelly wants. I mean, look at what happened when Andrew Hicks is in the game, and what kind of a threat that puts on the defense when, you know, two, three times a quarter, you got a quarterback that's going to keep it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is just an unbelievable weapon and an arsenal that really we don't, unfortunately, have a chance to exploit, because we've got a guy in time.
Yeah, but I mean, getting to the offensive line for a second, I mean, I tried to look at this because I never do, I'm kind of watching the ball just like kind of a regular fan, but I tried to watch the footwork of the offensive linemen a little bit at the start of the second half, and you're right. I mean, they really are a pretty cohesive unit. I mean, they do a good job, and obviously it's showing up in the results, but they seem to be playing with a lot of confidence. They'll have some games this year where somebody will get to Tommy and, you know, something will happen or whatever. But I think that is really turning out to be, you know, Ed Warner's group is turning out to be basically a real foundation for the team. And I think that when you can, you know, those old cliches about if you can run the ball and stop the run, that's not a bad place to start. And this team can do both. And that's what makes, I think, or should give, I think, Notre Dame fans a lot to look forward to for the rest of the year. I mean, you know, every game is interesting. Obviously, the next one is USC. So that's, you know, then you get the Brammer option retest against Navy. You know, Wake Forest beats Florida State. From everything that I've heard, that is the toughest ticket on Notre Dame's football schedule this year. Because, you know, it's only like a 30,000-35,000 seat stadium or whatever in Wake Forest. You know, every Notre Dame alum south of the Mason-Dixon line is trying to, you know, get into that game. There are no, you know, tickets available. And suddenly that game is a little bit more spicy than we thought after Wake beats Florida State.
Yeah, I think Maryland played.
Maryland's got some talent, and obviously BC is a grudge match, even though they're not very good. And then, of course, you know, you've got Stanford lurking there, looking like they could very easily run the table because the Pac-10 is kind of sucks. And
Oregon, that's gonna be a great game in Oregon, and I think that'll, you know, it really could bode well for us, especially not to get way ahead of ourselves. I mean,
of course,
a lot of football.
But you're right. I mean, every Notre Dame fan should be rooting for Stanford to run the table. I mean,
yeah, that would just be something else. I mean, how great would that be? End of the season for us to run the table, and then to face, you know, what arguably at that point is going to be a number four, you know, potentially number three, depending upon what happens. But, you know, a team that's going to have a shot at playing the national championship game that we might figure into that by knocking them out.
And if you really want to look ahead, I mean, the chances are, I mean, Notre Dame's got a good chance, you know, we're just fantasizing here a little bit looking ahead. But there's a whole host of teams that have, I think, a really good shot of going undefeated. You know, there might be four or five teams at the end, you know, Oklahoma, you know, either Alabama or LSU, Wisconsin, Stanford, Boise. I mean, for the playoff advocates, this could be their dream come true season, because there is there's the potential for some you know, above average level of chaos, just because there are a lot of teams that I think this year could end up the season without a loss, and that I think just plays to Notre Dame's benefit if they can play well and put themselves in a position for a BCS bid, because if you're not going to be able to play for the national championship, what better than to be playing a BCS game against Notre Dame? If you're a bowl committee and you're looking to pack it in, that is a great setup for you. So there's a lot to play for. Every week is its own little mini drama. I love getting a shot at USC here at night, and hopefully we're kind of starting on another 9-year winning streak over the Trojans.
That'd be nice. You know, that I think is going to be a great test for us defensively, because here you got a guy in Matt Barkley that probably is going to be the best look that we get of a potential Andrew Luck alike prior to that game. And Barkley is the kind of guy that he will take what you give him. If you do leave a guy open, he's gonna find him,
and it'll be a real good measuring stick of just how of Notre Dame's athleticism. You know, just how well have we recruited? Because it's basically going to be stop Mark Tyler, put pressure on Barkley. Very, very different than Air Force. You know, it's not a real complicated formula for putting USC in a bad position.
That's just going to be mano a mano. I mean, we're just going to have to make better plays and bigger plays than them, and you do that with athleticism, you're right. Not to forget their wideout, who's pretty much dominating.
Oh, sure, Farmer.
Johnson,
or Woods, I mean.
Their Farmer.
So they've
got weapons on offense, and they'll probably put some points on the board. Their defense isn't nearly what it used to be. There's no doubt about that. They're down this year. But, you know, that game is a rivalry game. It doesn't matter what the records are. They're going to get after it, and that's going to be a great atmosphere for us. But the good news is, I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better way to go into the off week with the kind of way we've been playing football and the game that we just had. To put that triple option behind us for right now and just do nothing but focus.
That's
on
right, and it sounds like they kind of, you know, those games are a little bit squirrely when it comes to potential injuries, and it sounds like we came through that game with nothing too terrible to speak of, nothing that can't be healed up over the course of the next 2 weeks. You give these guys a chance to catch their breath a little bit, and it'll be fall break on campus, and you know, there's a lot of positives. They'll all get together and watch USC play Cal on Thursday night, and then Cal will have a little extra time to get ready to come to South Bend. So there's all kinds of stuff that that works in Notre Dame's favor in terms of preparing for this game, and not the least of which is one that you alluded to is Andrew Hendricks. Now you put him into an actual game in the first half, you know, in a game situation, and he responded really well. He looked comfortable out there. He looked tough, which you always want from your quarterback. So that is a nice thing that's been developed now, and it's always good to get that first one under the belt where he doesn't make any big major mistakes. You know, I'm sure that Michael Floyd appreciated him getting, you know, letting him get lit up on the on that screen, but that was probably more the maybe it was Tyler Jones or whoever was out there didn't completely missed a block. Right?
Yeah,
TJ just missed it, right?
He just whiffed. I mean, that's just one of those things. I'll tell you what I would love to see, because I think Andrew has earned his way into playing in the USC game. I'm sure he's going to get in. But, boy, I tell you, the very first snap that Andrew Hicks is behind center, I would love to see them fake the Wildcat one way and for him to fake a run straight up and step back.
Oh, sure, they'll do that, yeah.
Because if I were USC, I would just pin my ears back and come after that kid the first time he steps into the game. You just assume that you're going to see nothing but a run out of him because that's why he's in the game, and so that's when you pin your ears back. So, you know, this is going to be interesting. Brian's going to have 2 weeks to prepare for USC. I think that's definitely an advantage for us, and I think he's the kind of coach that's going to do something with it.
But Notre Dame needs, you know, 59-20, 45-10 games because you got to get some of these other guys on the field that are going to have you know, that are going to have a role to play next year or possibly this year if there's injury. Remember, the things that we talked about early in the year was that there are certain areas that where depth is a problem. So the other Atkinson played you know, in the defensive backfield, and Collinsworth saw some, and Low Wood saw some time in the defensive backfield. And even if it's just kind of not necessarily garbage time, but just getting your feet wet, you know, Cam McDaniel played some running back.
Yep.
Some of the other offensive linemen rotated in there and got to play. Alex Welch played a lot at tight end in addition to Koyak, and with the injuries there, that's important. You know, Stephon Tuitt probably had his kind of best game in an Notre Dame uniform. It's not as he's not quite as flashy as Aaron Lynch because he's kind of more of an inside guy the way that they're using him now. So he's not gonna just jump off the page at you like Lynch did in the Michigan State game. But he also really contributed and played well. And Lewis Nix takes up a lot of space and just pushes people around. And
yeah, he does.
So.
He does. Yeah, the defensive line is by far probably the best that we've seen in a long time.
They're physical, they're active.
They are. They're great, and it really bodes well for the future. Good deal. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.